Here we are. Get this back up there. Here we are. Sound is working. Battery's on. Buttons are pushed. Gauge is moving around. June 19th, Wednesday night. My, how time flies when you're not having fun. Just mowing, and then it rains again, then I mow again, and it rains again, and I mow again. But I am going through my stuff, books and everything, and I'll get some of this stuff out to you in another day or two, Sam. I got to throw the rest away or something. But tonight, before the big storm hits outside, let's go into a life issue. And let's either tonight and get it all done tonight, but I doubt it. Let's look at the flesh. There was a time in school I mentioned something about the flesh, kind of forgetting that nobody really knows what that is other than to them and think it's just your skin and it's a dirty thought for kids, you know, the flesh. Well, that's ha, 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 ha. And somebody, you know, some kind of, I forgot what the comment was I made, but I just been thinking that even the Christians don't understand the flesh, F-L-E-S-H. And when you look, when you realize the understanding that comes from understanding about the flesh. It gives a joy and it gives a peace, and again, it gives an understanding that so many people don't have about what Christ truly did for us. I think people do, well, I know they don't, they're not taught this stuff at all. They know nothing about the operation made without hands, otherwise known as spiritual circumcision. I gotta quit yawning and keep my mind in place here. But they don't realize what Christ really did. And if they knew that something actually took place and something actually happened and he dealt with the flesh, that they would have a joy and a peace from God, with God, of God, all the joy that comes from this, from understanding about flesh. And they don't have it. It's either because of, you know, they've got this problem with rightly dividing. And so they don't understand. They have this ignorance about Israel, that kind of thing, that mystery. And so they're very conceited, thinking that now that they're a Christian, they can do better now in the flesh, and because they just follow Jesus' footsteps, and they will do the right thing all the time. After all, they've got the mind of Christ, so Christ will tell them on the inside feelings what to do and what not to do. Which explains why they don't think that they have any problem with the music they're listening to or the clothes they're wearing or the activities they're doing or the way they talk or whatever's going on. They've got a false joy and a prideful joy, if it's even joy at all. It's an example of the blindness that the Gentiles have. And we're not supposed to be the blind ones. We're supposed to be able to see. It's an illustration, an example of the high-mindedness that rich people have because they don't, I mean, they know they're doing the right thing because they've got the money to pay for doing the right thing. And then they get God's blessings because they've got the money to make it look like God's blessing them. We see that this is just a tremendous lack of understanding based on the lack of scriptural knowledge and rightly dividing. And you go to Ephesians chapter 4, we see what it is, it's the vanity of their mind that they're thinking in, so they think that they're doing fine. Give or take a few mistakes here and there, but they confess them and be done with it, you know, on a Sunday night Bible conference or something every couple months. It's just nothing but profane and vain babblings, evil men seducing, evil men and seducers are waxing worse and worse, they're deceiving and all these verses that hit this thing. It's, a lot of it has to do with the fact that nobody knows what the Bible says about the flesh. And if it's rightly divided, what Paul tells us about the flesh is absolutely spectacular. Now, it seems kind of wild when you think about it, but maybe not so much anymore because, you know, we got Superman flying out of the sky, we got Christ things happening all over the place, and we got powerful prayer groups around the poles and the whole thing. And they don't realize that They're just doing this godliness, denying the power thereof. And one of the things that the power thereof, I believe, is referring to is the fact that when we truly get saved, there's an operation that takes place. And Christ has to deal with our flesh. And as a result of that, as far as Christ is concerned, what we do in our flesh is a different issue. And we know that's what this... We just kind of go into the conclusion first here. The judgment seat of Christ is where the things that we've done, you know, our works, which are things that we do in our flesh here as such, that's the stuff that has to be judged. Because he says, but we aren't going to burn. Well, why aren't we going to burn? We're the ones doing them. Well, no, not really. We're not. It's our flesh that's doing this stuff. Well, what are you talking about? Well, let's just go to the scriptures, as always, and let's look at all these verses on the flesh. And we will see how this has been dealt with. We will have an added piece to ourselves, either tonight or by Sunday anyway, again, about this flesh really is not me. And we know that, you know, but we also know that we've done things, looked at things, saw things, gone places. You know, we've done stuff that we shouldn't have and da-da-da-da. And I know that there's some folks out there, they write me once in a while. And some people, some folks out there get really discouraged because they messed up again. Well, we are going to mess up. Acts chapter 2 tells us that until Christ puts the Spirit of God upon their flesh during the tribulation, then Christ will expect them to do the right thing. The severity of God took care of the people during the Old Testament days, and yet they still had to shed blood for when they messed up. When they sinned, I should say. Sin, not just messed up. So penalty still had to be paid. So when Christ died on the cross and rose again, which is a huge other half, then we see what he does when he deals with our flesh, our physical person. So let's just go through some verses, and let's let these verses just speak to us, as we say. They say, just let God speak to me in my heart, and we will say, no, let's turn our Bibles, and let's rightly divide this thing, and let's let the Scriptures, let the Spirit of God, through His Scriptures, His words, the very mouth of God, speak to us. Not near as difficult to trust it or not. So, if we go to Acts chapter 2, and we just look at verse 17, we see the obvious place where it says, and it shall come to pass in the last days. This is not what we were talking about here. They were questioning about the speaking in tongues they were seeing. Saith God, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. That's not now, even though there are people that claim all those things. So we have the Spirit in us. They will have to have the Spirit upon them, and that part is the flesh. Now, let's go down to verse 31. Here's another little kind of a bunny trail, sort of. You know, there's people that don't believe Christ went to hell. If you remember years ago, I put that sermon out on the internet there for a while on an Easter thing, Christ went to hell. And boy, I get some letters. I got a pastor on the internet preaching the whole message about me, really blasting me for saying such stuff. And yet we look at this verse, Acts 2:31, he seeing this before spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. I mean, I don't know how you say that Christ didn't then go to hell. He had to go to hell. That's a whole other subject, but he did, but he was not left there. And his flesh, his person, neither did his flesh see corruption. So he did not do anything wrong as a person. Now, let's go to Romans chapter 1, and let's just zip down through here a bunch of verses, and different ones will just reinforce what we're saying, and the other ones will cause some thought and help explain some things here. Romans chapter 1, verse 3, concerning his son Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. Physical. Okay, I mean, yeah, it is physical. Romans 2:28. For he is not a Jew, but which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision, which is outward in the flesh. It's a bodily thing they're talking about there. Okay? Romans 3:20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. So these people that are not Christians, that still believe such and such about God, whatever, they think that they can still just be good enough. I will just have to talk to God about it when I die. He and I will just have to have a conversation, or I'll talk to him. One of those kind of things. No, there's no flesh be justified. Now, again, read that again. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, look at Galatians 2:16. Galatians 2:16, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ. Not even our own faith, it's his faith. And not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. And if we go to Romans 8:8, we see where it says, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. We see all sorts of ramifications, I guess if you call that, but we're talking about lost people who think they might be doing good enough, you know, the Catholics who do the good stuff and the Lutherans, all these religious people who say they're Christians, whatever, they don't realize that they're actually trying to live a life that would justify themselves in the sight of God, because they were baptized. What is that? Well, that's just a work of flesh, really. They're just a physical watering baptism thing. Or communion, that's just a fleshly activity. So, no flesh be justified in his sight. That's works. Okay? Romans 6:19. Now, we'll just keep going here. Romans 6:19. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. So, see, we still have a problem with our flesh. So we know that. And this just reminds us here to hear this. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. See, modern Christians probably don't see that much of infirmity of their flesh. They probably think they're doing a pretty good job. That's that honorable and devout woman. That's that man who just thinks that he's just, you know, just pridefully doing a great job. He's been called of God to do such and such because God will speak to him because he's living such a good life, you know. Because of the infirmity of your flesh, for as ye have yielded your members to servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. Now remember, he's talking because of the infirmity of our flesh, we have to force ourselves to yield as servants to righteousness. It's our flesh does not want to do it. Our flesh is not naturally into this stuff. Romans chapter 7, which is the classic chapter for this stuff. For when we were in the flesh, verse 5. For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sins, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. Now we have a chance to tell somebody about the circumcision of Christ, which we'll get to in a minute when we get to Colossians. But see, no longer are we in the flesh. Although there's a time where Paul talks about the fact that we're in the flesh, but he means we're still in our bodies, you know, we're still on this earth. There we are, alive, walking up and down the street. But what we're talking about here, in this case without any doubt, for when we were in the flesh, because we no longer are, the motions of sins, which were by law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. Go to verse 18. For I know that in me, parentheses, that is, in my flesh, there's a distinction there. In me, in my flesh, not me, but in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. So these people that, when they get saved, they just follow Jesus' footsteps, they think that they're now doing the good thing. Sorry, but in our flesh dwelleth no good thing. That's why Christ has to put the Spirit of God upon their flesh in the tribulation. Acts chapter 2 again. For to will is present with me, but to perform that which is good I find not. Right, because in verse 25, Paul says, I thank God through Jesus Christ the Lord. So with the mind, see, it's the mind, I myself serve the law of God. And we're not talking about law, the Levitical, da-da-da-da. It's the law of God, the reality of God. but with the flesh, the law of sin. So we have to be separated from our flesh, which we'll get to in a minute here. Okay. Romans 8:1. There is therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Verse 3. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, because we couldn't do it, God sent his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, which we know he did, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. He had to walk down here, be a man, and walk this whole thing. Now, we're getting closer, that the righteousness of the law, verse 4, might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Verse 5, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Now here's the deciding verse. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, people will say, though, I've got the Spirit of God in me, so now I'm walking the right stuff. No, I've got the Spirit of God in me, so what my flesh does, it will have to be judged at a later time. Because it's still rotten to the core. Remember, he says, I know that in me, that is in my flesh. Because see, in me, myself, I'm clean. Well, we might as well go there, because that's, for anybody that's new to this, late sometime listening to this thing, we might as well go to Colossians chapter 2, and then we'll come back to this thing in Romans. To see, what he's talking about here is Paul says that we've been separated. There's a difference between me and a difference between my flesh. Now, my flesh has filth. It's still there. It's still dirty, rotten, smelly flesh. But on the inside, I've been cut away. Verse 11, chapter 2 of Colossians. In whom also ye are circumcised, with a circumcision made without hands, which is spiritual operation, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ. Buried with him in baptism, no water baptism needed, that's just a spiritual thing like Paul says. Therein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead, and you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. So we've been quickened. Have you been saved? Everybody can talk about that, but have you been quickened? Have you been made alive? It's not born again. You don't want to be born again. You want to be quickened. And then it goes on there. So, realizing the fact that we've been cut away from our flesh, and then we go to Hebrews chapter 4. Yeah, but Hebrews chapter 4 is written to the Jews. Yes, but it's still just a description of what the Word of God will do. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. Here we go. Where are we at here? Verse 12 and 13. For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow. There's a combo between those two things. And it goes on into the discerner. So it's the Word of God that's the sword that makes this whole operation take place. Which then makes me want to bunny trail back to Ephesians chapter 1 and tell people, do you have the sword of the Spirit? Do you have the Word of God? Well, I can show you that these NIVs, all these other kind of things, they're not the Word of God. So if you can accept that eventually and realize the King James Bible is the only Word of God, so that's the only sword. In verse 13 of chapter 1, did you hear the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation? Okay, so you haven't heard the word of truth. You've heard something else. So my question would be, do you know for a fact that you've had that spiritual circumcision? Have you received that operation? And the only way you can know you have, whether or not you have, you don't feel anything, because you got to trust the Word of God being your sword, and that sword is the King James Bible, nothing else, and you know what took place. Which has to have a lot to the reason why the devil hates this book so much. There's something, and why all these other Bibles compare themselves still to a King James Bible. And why even the publishers are trying to tweak the King James Bible even. They're trying to take away from the word of the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, so it's not the gospel of your salvation. It's quite the deception that's going on. So anyway, there's the flesh. We've been cut away with it, cut away from it. So, with that in mind, all these things, when he talks about, going back to where we were now, going back to when we were in the flesh, well, yeah, see, we were attached to the flesh then. No flesh shall be justified in his sight. Right, because we have to be cut away from that flesh. So now the stuff that gets done in the flesh will have to be tested to see if it was pleasing to God or not. Judgment seat of Christ. And you can't please God no matter what you do, because until Romans chapter 8, you are still in the flesh. You can't please God. Remember we did a sermon a while ago, dead in sins or dead of sin? Or because, how did I say that? Dead in sins? Dead from sin? Whatever. Forgot how that goes. Terrible. Okay. So now we see why Paul says, I myself serve the law of God, because he wants to do the right thing. But his flesh, which there was nothing, dwelleth no good thing inside Paul, still had his flesh to deal with. Okay, so, Romans 8:12. Whoops, somebody's buzzing. Oh, okay. Romans 9. No, let's go Romans, yeah, Romans chapter 9. Romans chapter 8, there we go, I'm sorry. Romans chapter 8, verse 13. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. Okay. If ye live after the flesh, which we were for years, and yes, we're going to die, and the Bible talks about a revelation, a second death, because we're also going to die physically, other than the rapture. So he says, but if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. Okay, does that mean we should mortify the deeds of the body? Well, we can't. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. Does that mean that he's going to get us to stop doing the wrong things? No, that's going to tell us that the Spirit of God mortified the deeds of our body by cutting us away from the flesh. He actually mortified our works from us. So, this is why when if anybody out there listens to this later, I know who I'm specifically thinking of here, who trips up and gets all frustrated about it and depressed, and then he finally comes back to it. There's no need for that. And it sounds really arrogant or whatever. No, I don't think it does. I think the modern Christian sounds arrogant. Well, if I pray hard enough, if we pray hard enough, God will do this for us, to us, or whatever. Now, see, to me, that's arrogance. That's conceit. For us to realize the fact that Christ knows we weren't going to do it, can do it. Nobody's ever done it in the past. Why should they start doing it now? So Christ cuts me away from my filthy flesh. So that's not arrogant. That's just being aware and understanding and very joyful about our situation. All things are lawful. But remember, he does put strings attached to that thing, though. Strings attached for our salvation? No. Strings attached for the rewards, for the judgment seat of Christ. Okay, so Romans 9:3. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ, from my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. Now there's a reference to the brothers, the race, the Israels, the Israelites, the Jews. Here's the word flesh, see? Romans chapter 9, verse 8. That is, they which are the children of the flesh. See, that's lost people, children of the flesh. Not just children, but people. Called the children of the flesh. These are not the children of God. But the children of the promise are counted for the seed. So there's that flesh again, children of the flesh. Same thing in Romans 11:14. Paul says, page. If by any means they may provoke to emulation of them which are my flesh, that's Paul, that's Jews, that's Paul. Gentiles, that's our flesh, Gentiles. Okay, now we get into the walk. Because see, we're separated from our flesh, but yet Paul still teaches us, the risen Christ through Paul, still teaches us about the walk. The walk is affected by and affects our flesh. He says in Romans 13:14, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, which we have done, and make not provision for the flesh. Well, that's tough. Well, you go through these things walking in the Spirit, you stay in your book, you understand what's going on, you make not provision for the flesh. If drinking is a hard thing, then you don't go to the bar. You don't go down the beer aisle. If magazines, I mean, go down the list. You know, what is it to hit you? Well, not all things are lawful. Yeah, but something still causes you to have an occasion for the flesh. That's the stuff that'll burn. So what a waste. So make no provision for it. You know? I was thinking, I was in the grocery store the other day. I said, man, I'm in the house. This is my house of addiction. Food. Never go into a grocery store when you're hungry. But then when I go in when I'm full, I don't want to buy anything. So I drive for 45 minutes back home, and I'm thinking, man, I should have bought such and such, shouldn't I? I got to drive back, waste money. It's a battle in the grocery store. Boy, you go in there, hungry? Oh, you go down the bread line, you go down the bakery, you go down the deli, you go down the meat rack, you go down the, the yogurt rack, you go down this, you go down there. And you just always have to say, no, you really don't need that. A, you can't afford it. That doesn't mean as much because I want it. You know, that's my addiction store, really. Stress eating, all that kind of stuff, you know. That's making provision for the flesh. A full refrigerator is making provision for the flesh. It is so really good that we do not have a restaurant, a cafe, a Dairy Queen, a drive-in. We have nothing in this town. To go buy something like that. That saves. You know, I'm lazy enough, I gotta fix a meal. My wife is gone for a while. The other night I broke down. I know Chris, you're still there, right? Chris is not gonna like this. Yeah, Chris is still there. I even bought a TV dinner. It's been years since I've had a TV dinner. And I know I read the ingredients, it's all garbage. See, I made provision for my flesh, and it was awful. It was just awful. What a waste of $4 that was, you know. So anyway, so we provoke, we make provision for the flesh. Then we get into Romans 14:21. Oh, this is a tough one. It is good neither to eat flesh, there's your meat stuff, you know, nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak. There's all that stuff we have to deal with too. You know, all things are lawful, but are we going to cause somebody to stumble with it? All things are lawful because Christ took care of the law. So now we can do anything, but are we going to choose to do what our flesh wants us to do or what Christ would have us to do? Constant battle. Well, if you make provision for the flesh, you're going to more often do what your flesh wants to do, not what Christ would have you do. And that's why Paul says, I want out of here. He says, oh, wretched man that I am. This is Paul. Who shall deliver me from the body? There's that physical, see, the body of this death. Okay, well, let's see here. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 1:26. We got so many verses, we won't get them all to tonight, but we just look at them all. We need to, because it shows the position or whatever of the word flesh and what the flesh has to do in our lives. 1 Corinthians 1:26, and there are a lot of references in Corinthians, period. And we have to keep Corinthians in our context as well, too. You know, before the King James Bible, blah, 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 blah. 1 Corinthians 1:26. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh. See, there's a reference to people who are not saved. They're going by their own mind. Vanity of their mind, it says there in Ephesians 4:17. And there are not many wise men that are smart in the brain that God's going to use. Now, if somebody who's smart in the brain gets a hold of this Bible and gets rolling on it, is he called? No, he's just able to understand this stuff. And it doesn't say, no wise men after this, just not many. Now, I believe a lost person can understand a lot of the stuff we're talking about here if you just sat down and had them read it and guide them through it. But they would still be lacking the depth of this whole thing, something fierce. Because he says, not many wise men after the flesh. Not many mighty, not many noble are called. He says in verse 29, no flesh should glory in his presence. Okay, so if that's the case, music today, which is rhythmic, has to do with rhythm, which appeals to the flesh. And they can say it's all for God all they want, but there's no That flesh, no, there's nothing there for God. No flesh should glory in His presence. No, and their flesh is glorying. Because that's what music makes them do, and they think they're doing a great job for God, and God, it's just going to burn. If they're even saved in the first place. And then you get into 1 Corinthians 5:5, somebody who's been down the whole list of what Paul's tried to do, pray, cry, tear, long-suffering, rebuke, move it, get away from, da-da-da-da, the whole long list there. The last thing we can do is to deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh. You want to go out into the world? Are you going to get killed? Are you going to be destroyed? Well, some do. But your flesh, your pride, your conceit, your flesh, your person has to be destroyed. Got to just break it down. God isn't going to work on people. It's the devil that breaks them down. And it's also the devil that blesses them. Because we see here that if somebody doesn't get into this stuff, they need to, Paul says, deliver them unto Satan. And he's the god of this world. And the god of this world isn't so stupid that he's going to make all the bad things happen in his red cape and horns and pitchfork. He's subtle. He's a nice guy. He knows how to help people, bless them, to keep them away from the truth. But that will destroy their flesh. Their life will become a disaster. Now here's one, 1 Corinthians 7:28, referring to flesh again, the physical stuff of our life. But and if thou marry, talking about divorce here, thou hast not sinned, and if a virgin marry, she hath not sinned, nevertheless shall such have trouble in the flesh. And people that have been divorced or remarried or all the stuff that comes around that whole avenue of activity, they've got trouble in the flesh, physical. I remember telling people, yeah, it's okay, but you're going to have some hassles. You get some court situations. You got family this, family that. You've got this, all that stuff that came through. The kids got two different dads, mom. It's just trouble in the flesh. Then here's a total bunny trail one, really. 1 Corinthians 15:39. Kids are not taught this. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, and another of birds. And this Unitarian, Hinduish concept of the circle of life, everybody's part of one circle there, that is not true. That's just not true. It gets verified in verse 50, 1 Corinthians 15:50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Kingdom of God is a spiritual kingdom. So these people that are still in the flesh, you know, they're still part of their body. They cannot have the kingdom of God. It can't be there. 2 Corinthians 1:12. This gives us encouragement from Paul. He says, "For our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience, that in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom." And I was thinking as I read this, thinking about this over the last, I don't know, couple of months or whatever. You know, we have these Bible institutes, and you can study your Bible. The pastors can make you memorize all these verses, which I've never been through. And yet I can find more verses than I ever would have been able to memorize. We all know that you learn better by participating. And you learn the stuff as you use them. And so I don't have a fleshly wisdom, but I've got a Bible. And Paul, who didn't use fleshly wisdom, he knew what God told him, and it was sincere, and it was very simple. And this is all this needs. You don't have to be a scholar to get excited about this stuff. And it doesn't take fleshly wisdom to live out in this world and do what you have to do. Like he says here, but by the grace of God, we have had our conversation in the world, which they have, as we do, and more abundantly to you word. So yes, we have a life we're still supposed to live. 2 Corinthians 4, let's look at that one. 2 Corinthians 4, page. For we which live, which is not just a person who's alive, but we are alive because of the circumcision, because of Christ. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. Now we got to remember that he's talking about the death of Jesus and the life. And Paul, when he talks about the life of Jesus, he's talking about the risen Savior. Because he talks about, we which live are always delivered unto death, so that's already taken place. That the life, because now he's risen, also Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So we should actually, in our mortal flesh, all our bodies, our physical day-to-day activity, should reflect, or whatever, make manifest of the risen Savior. Not the gospel Jesus, but the risen Jesus. Yeah, but that makes people mad. Well, Paul tells us it will. It shouldn't surprise us, you know. And yet you've got these gospel people that say, well, you know, I'm just going to pray and Jesus will do this and thank you, Jesus, and all that talk. But they're following the wrong life of Jesus. Unknown God kind of stuff. Okay, chapter 7, verse 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. Is the Holy Spirit filthy? No, our spirit would be the flesh. So yeah, we still need to live a clean life. Remember the words naughty? And well, that's a dirty joke. That's a dirty thing to do. That's a dirty picture. That's the filthiness of our flesh, of the flesh and spirit. That's so we can feed ourselves. And Paul says, cleanse yourself from that stuff. You know, get away. See, that's still part of our walk. But knowing that if we mess up, it'll burn. We know that, judgment seat of Christ, but it doesn't hurt us with God. So you get up. My illustration has always been a baby learning to walk. He falls down, hits his head, he cries. Dad, mom walk over there, pick him up and say, keep walking, son. You get it, you know, kind of a thing. And then there are those abusive fathers. When the kid messes up, he goes over and spanks him. That'll teach him to fall. That doesn't work. 2 Corinthians 7:5. For when we were coming to Macedonia, our flesh had no rest. They were physically tired. Our flesh had no rest. They were so busy. They were troubled on every side. Without were fightings, within were fears. You ever had where you have no rest? You're tired, but your mind is constantly going too. I mean, your physical self, it's just our flesh had no rest. We were troubled on every side. Without were fightings, within were fears. And we're living in a country now where our flesh is getting lesser and lesser and lesser rest. We read the news, we watch the government, we look at the politicians, we look at this, we look at the food, we look at the chemicals, all this stuff is just like, man, where's the peace? Well, our peace is a spiritual peace. It's all we can have. Okay. 2 Corinthians 10:3. I'll go to 10:2, 2 Corinthians 10:2. But I beseech you that I may not be bold till I am present with that confidence, wherewith I think to be bold against some, which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. In other words, we get these preachers out here screaming and yelling at people in the street corners, and they think that's being bold. They're just walking according to the flesh, as Paul describes it. That's how people think. Well, that's what people think. Then he says, for though we walk in the flesh, which we are inside our bodies, you know, we do not war after the flesh. Because you're going to lose. And yet it's a battle. He fought the battle with his flesh and his mind. And we're going to go out there and we're going to fight battles. Those are wars with the flesh. We know what's going on in this country. Michael Savage, all these guys can say what they want. And they're saying good stuff about what's wrong and what's happening to the country. And this Paul guy, I can't think of his name, Rand Paul, wants to sue the government. I mean, you know, go for it, you guys. But we know what we Bible believers know where this is. Bible believers, Paul following, we know where this is going. Ephesians 6 tells us who the real enemy is, principalities, etc., etc. Then we get into where Paul says in 2 Corinthians 11:18, seeing that many glory after the flesh, and people do, I will glory also. Now let's look at Philippians chapter 3, verse 4. There's another one. Philippians chapter 3, verse 4. So let's look at this thing here. Philippians 3, verse 4. Paul says, you guys are proud of yourselves. You're glorying after your flesh. You know, let me tell you something here, he says. Philippians 3, 4. He says, if any other man thinketh that he hath wherewith he might trust in the flesh, I more. I mean, if anybody has okay to look at the flesh, look at what Paul says. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, of Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee. Verse 6, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law. 7, then he says, but what things were gained to me, and he's done plenty, so these I count a loss for Christ. So, if your flesh glory, if your flesh gains, glories in it, it's just loss for Christ. That's how Paul puts this stuff about flesh. So we got all these people with music blessing their flesh, blessing their patting their flesh on the back. They're just loving every bit of it. Churches are becoming very fleshly. Short sermons, entertainment, musically oriented, fleshly beat oriented. The clothes they wear, the things they say, it's all glorying in the flesh, and it's just lost for Christ. And it's actually your loss too, because it'll still burn the judgment seat of Christ. Chapter 12, verse 7, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations. I mean, look at what Paul could have been like. I mean, all the stuff that Paul knew, he could have put Benny Hinn to shame, you know. There was given to me a thorn in the flesh. That's a physical ailment, that's a physical problem that Paul had. And not to get into it in detail in verses, but I believe that was, he had bad eyesight, because he said those people would give him his eyes if they would give them to him. So I think Paul just had a hard time. So we talked about that before. Galatians 1:16, we'll do a couple more here. Galatians 1:16, knowing that, Galatians, to reveal his son, this is what God did to Paul, to reveal his son in me. That's Paul, in me. So Jesus Christ is revealed to us through Paul. Not through Peter, not through the Gospels, but through Paul. That I might preach him among the heathen. That's Gentiles. Immediately, I conferred not with flesh and blood, physical people. My point, again, is for the people that have made it through this long and somewhere in the next couple of weeks, whenever they listen to this stuff, when we refer to the flesh, we're talking about our physical being, and then our flesh, our physical being being cut away from our soul and spirit. So now when we are Christians, as a sincere, a real legitimate Christian, we are no longer in our flesh. And then we're talking about also that flesh can also refer to the physical body. Like he says here, conferred not with flesh and blood. Helps to add the word blood to it. Helps it understand a little better. Galatians 2:16. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, which would be flesh, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, not faith in Christ, but the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law, because that would be flesh. He says, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. And then verse 20, marvelous chapter, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, you know, we're in the day-to-day affairs here, I live by the faith of the Son of God, not by faith in the Son, which is what NIV, all these other Bibles say, but by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So that's where we're at with this stuff. Now, I think we're going to stop there. Let's go one more. Galatians 3:3. Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit? Are you now made perfect by the flesh? We'll stop there, because that's where our depression and our frustration comes in as Christians. As a true, honest Christian following the risen Savior, we who were created like we were in His workmanship, we who have had our soul and spirit is cut away from the flesh, and we began in the Spirit, you know, we're now a Christian. We find ourselves still trying to be made perfect, trying to be completed, you know, not just sinless, but trying to be perfect by the flesh. By doing stuff, we mess up, because we do mess up, and that's where our depression comes, our battle we have with our depression and our frustration. Because we just still think, we got that in our heads, we still should be doing the right thing. And we should, according to Paul and the risen Savior. But that's not what makes us perfect. That's not what finishes us. Okay, we'll pick it up again there on Sunday, Galatians 4:13. I'll make a note of it here. And we'll pick that up again on Sunday.